Hello and welcome to Life with Purpose Radio. I'm Rod Hampton, your host for this half hour, bringing you more inspirational stories of people sharing Christ around the world. Let's get a preview of this week's stories.
Hello, I'm Juliana Smoke. Today we're going to hear about a ministry who is intentionally sharing the love of Christ with those who are homebound.
I'm John Graham, and did you know 22 million folks watch The Walking Dead every week? How can a believer connect that craze with the gospel? Today on The Culture Connection.
Hello, I'm Ron Lawson. Later we'll talk with a missionary who has followed God's call to go to a very difficult place in Africa to share the good news of Christ.
I'm Myrna Brown. She's got a Dove, Stellar, even a Grammy Award. Find out the one thing Tasha Cobb says is at the heart of it all.
Also today, a special Thanksgiving story from upstate New York on our Missionary Moment. So stay where you are for this week's edition of Life with Purpose Radio. With all the hustle and bustle of the holidays, sometimes homebound folk may get overlooked. Well, that's where the ministry in our first story comes in, and Juliana Smoke brings us the story.
Thanksgiving is a time of year where we gather with friends and family and enjoy each other's company. However, for many people who are homebound and confined to their homes, it can be a very lonely, depressing time of the year. Home ministry at Central Baptist Church in Warner Robins, Georgia, shares the love of Christ with those who are homebound. Linda May with Home Ministry joins us today on Life with Purpose Radio. Hello, Linda.
Hi, Juliana.
This is an important ministry, especially this time of year where we can get so busy with all of our activities and not stop to see the needs right around us. Tell us about the people who you all minister to.
Well, we have people in our church that have been there for a long time and some for just a short time. And their health has declined or they have been in some tragedy that has caused them not to be able to attend church.
Mm-hmm. And how many people do you all minister to in your community?
I usually have around 35.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you all are also ministering to the caregivers as well.
Right. Whenever you go into the home, you're there for the homebound person. But their caregiver is also there, and they're just as well to be homebound too, because they have to stay there to help take care of their loved one. So they appreciate all the visits.
Right, right. And you all go out of your way to make Thanksgiving a special time of year for them.
We do. We make up a fresh fruit basket. You know, their face just lights up every time they get something and just being remembered.
Right, but you all do things all throughout the year.
Yes, we do. We go visit. We mail them cards every month. We do special things all during the year for them, such as taking Christmas bags, Valentine's Day, Easter. You know, they look forward to these gifts. And usually it's nothing big, but just small things that they might need or use, like Q-tips or soap, toothbrushes, things like that.
Right, right. So you all are finding ways to help them feel connected and not so isolated.
Yes, ma'am, we are. You know, we may be the only connection they have with the church, because once you become homebound, it's kind of like the old saying, you know, out of sight, out of mind, and they become forgotten. And so we may be their only connection. And one of the great things that we do is that we have our deacons from the church go out to the homebound, and they have the Lord's Supper with them. And so many of them miss having that. And when it started, it was supposed to be a blessing for our homebound friends, which it is. But it also turned out to be a blessing for the deacons who go, because they see how important this is and what it means to our people.
Wow. And I'm sure it takes a great deal of volunteers to help serve and love.
It does. At the present time, I have 44 volunteers. And out of that 44, though, I have 6 that do nothing but send cards. And that would be thinking of you cards and birthday cards or cards of encouragement or prayer. I usually try to pair a volunteer with a family. And these people become really great friends with each other. They do special things for their person all year long, and they may take them to the doctor, and that all depends, of course, on their health and ability to move outside the home. And they kind of adopt them into their family, and they become very close, and they learn to love each other. and it makes the visits a whole lot easier. They look forward to it on both ends.
Mm-hmm. They have a relationship already built.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking those who have young children and want to find a way their children can serve during the holiday season, something like this would be a great idea.
It would. I have some that take their grandchildren with them, and I have others that might take their children with them. And the ones they are visiting, their eyes just light up when they see children coming, and they love to have visitors with children.
Linda, how can we get more information if someone would like to get a ministry like this started in their community?
Well, you can visit our website at church, and it's centralalive.org.
We've been speaking with Linda May with Home Ministry. Linda, thank you so much for joining us today, and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, and don't forget those who can't get out.
For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Juliana Smoke.
Life with Purpose Radio.
Many of us feel there's so much more to life. Jesus offers us hope for every situation. All we need to do is ask. A change in your life is so easy to find. Learn more at findithere.com.
Thank you for listening to Life with Purpose Radio. With the popular zombie craze we're seeing, you may ask how it can be used for spiritual good. Well, John Graham's guest will shed some light on the subject on today's Culture Connection.
You can't go very far these days without bumping into a zombie. And I don't mean you in the morning before your coffee. I mean a real zombie, or, well, at least a zombie lover. Shows like The Walking Dead, filmed right here in Georgia, are unmatched in popularity. But what's the Christian to do with the subject, and how can this craze point folks toward the gospel? Kevin Fitzgerald is a pastor, writer, and zombie fan, and he's here today in studio to share some ideas. Kevin, how you doing?
I am doing well. Thanks for having me here.
Thanks for being with us. Now, why do you think zombies are so popular?
This is just me personally. Is because I think deep down inside, you know, the Bible says that everybody knows in Romans chapter 1 that there's a God. I think deep down inside, everybody knows there's an element of truth to this idea of people walking around dead like they're alive. We're spiritually dead without Christ.
A lot of Christians are scared or nervous or bothered or put off by the idea of zombies, I think largely because they have their roots in the occult, like the movie White Zombie, the first zombie movie ever.
Right.
It really wasn't the zombie like we're seeing today on TV. How can we draw people to the gospel through this? Is there a way?
I think Jesus was the master storyteller, and I think that he was so good at plucking elements that were culturally relevant and using them to communicate spiritual truths. And I think as Christians, we should really be able to do that and be able to do it well. I think that's what he did with the Samaritan. He basically said, I'm going to tell you guys a story about a Samaritan. Now, today, our only frame of reference is Jesus's story of the Good Samaritan. I always say to people, when was the last time you met a Samaritan? Nobody's ever met a Samaritan. That's because as of a couple of years ago, there's only 700 of them alive on planet Earth. But in Jesus's day and in his culture, everybody knew what a Samaritan was. So when he used that idea of a Samaritan, everybody knew what he was talking about. And I think the same thing's true for something like zombies. Right now, 22 million people watch a weekly television series about zombies. I think to have the idea or the mindset of, I'm going to grab a hold of that and I'm going to use it to communicate spiritual truth.
Now, you're doing some things personally to do that very thing, to kind of hook the gospel to this cultural craze.
Yeah.
What are some of those things?
The Bible says everybody's dead, but we're all walking around like we're alive. And so I got this idea of, hey, what if I wrote this little story about using zombies to communicate salvation and the idea of redemption? So it started out as a short film. It got picked up by a producer who really encouraged me to turn it into a feature. And now that feature film is in development, and lo and behold, it's coming out as a novel in January of 2015.
And you have met and kind of immersed yourself in this zombie writing culture, this zombie fandom.
Yeah.
And you've met a lot of people and had opportunities to share basically your premise with them.
Yep.
What's kind of been the result of that? You told me about a Muslim. Tell me some of those things.
I met him at a zombie convention. And we started exchanging stories, and he gave me a copy of his book. In the conversation, he said he used to do script continuity. And I said, well, have a look at this. And he read it, and he wrote back to me, and he said, you know, I'm Muslim, I'm not Christian, but because we have some things in common in our holy writings. He said, I kind of get the whole Adam and Eve reference. And it just opened up this door for conversation.
In a sense, you're a zombie missionary.
In a sense, I am a zombie missionary. Absolutely. Which I think is radically cool.
Yeah. So, okay, our listeners are they're not pastors, they're not writers, they're not screenwriters perhaps, but they know zombie fans.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to them how they can kind of bridge the gap to talk about Scripture?
I think what we have a tendency to want to do is have a single conversation with somebody, throw some Scripture at them, and think they're going to pray a prayer and give their life to Jesus. I think we have to be willing to sit and engage those people in conversation because that's the only way they're ever going to listen to what we have to say. And I think, unfortunately, the Christian community's gotten pretty bad at not listening to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, people don't want to listen to us. Very much similar to what the title of this, you know, radio interview is, you know, life with a purpose. It's being on purpose, being on mission. And deciding I'm going to reach out to people who are in this culture.
Great words, Kevin. How can our listeners connect with you and your work and kind of find out more about you?
KJF Writer, you know, is on Twitter, Facebook, you know, .com/KJF Writer or just KJFWriter.com. So that's the easiest way to find me.
All right, great. Kevin Fitzgerald, zombie enthusiast, pastor, writer, screenwriter, and good friend. So we're glad to have him with us. Until next time, this is John Graham bringing you The Culture Connection.
Each week on Life with Purpose Radio, we present stories of people living their lives with purpose and stories of caring Christians around the world. And as you listen to the stories, we hope that you are inspired to live your life with purpose. And you can tell us your story. You can do that by email, stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. That's stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. And you can also give us your comments about today's program or if you have questions or if you need more information about programs in the past. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at LWP Radio and Facebook at Facebook/LWP Radio. Hey, if you'd like to get a free book, we have it for you. It's still available. It's the hardback edition of Words of Life. It's a devotional book by Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director of the Georgia Baptist Convention. If you'll go to lifewithpurposeradio.com/freebook, again, that's lifewithpurposeradio.com/freebook, fill in the form, and we'll get it to you absolutely free just for being a listener to Life with Purpose Radio. Well, more stories await, so Myrna, how about it?
Thanks, Rod. She's got a Dove, Stellar, even a Grammy Award. Find out the one thing Tasha Cobb says that's at the heart of it all.
Thanks, Myrna. Also, our unforgettable Thanksgiving story is ahead on our Missionary Moment. But in the meantime, Ron Lawson is in the Life with Purpose Radio studio and has the story of Mission Uganda.
God calls very special people to go to places and to reach out to specific groups of people, something that would be very difficult for most of us to even consider. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director for the Georgia Baptist Convention, talks with such a person, a missionary, called to reach out to a warrior tribe, an unreached group of people in Uganda, Africa, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's listen.
I am so pleased today to be speaking with Jeremy Taliaferro, who, along with his wife Susan, are international missionaries serving Uganda. Jeremy, thank you so much for being with us on Life with Purpose Radio.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be here.
Jeremy, I know you're originally from Texas and have served in international missions for about 13 years, 10 years being in the Amazon, and for the last 3 years in Uganda and Eastern Africa. Would you please let our listeners know how God has called you and your young family to minister to the people of Africa?
For me, it started when I was a teenager. I was at a youth camp in Glorieta, New Mexico. And during one of the messages, they were talking about international missions, and I just really felt like the Lord began to speak to me there. I was in high school, and I had some people that were discipling me, and they just told me to make your life about fulfilling what God's told you he wants you to do. And so as I went to university and as I continued throughout my life, I just basically focused my life on fulfilling the calling that he's put on in my life. And then I went as a journeyman overseas, which is a 2-year commitment, and it just confirmed that this is what God wanted me to do. And through that process, God definitely made it clear that this is what he wanted me to do the rest of my life. And so here we are. That's what kind of led us here.
Well, that's so exciting. Thank you so much for sharing that journey with us. We're so grateful for your commitment to Christ and your willingness to leave the comforts of home and to be on mission in a really tough part of the world. Can you describe for our listeners a little bit about your work and about the people group that you're reaching there in Uganda?
Well, our team specifically deals with people groups that are very remote, very difficult to get to. Most of the people groups that we get to are classified as unreached and unengaged people groups, which means that they are less than 2% evangelized and that no one is currently engaging that people group before we begin the process. And so that's kind of what our focus is, and there's a reason that these people groups are unreached and unengaged. They're usually in difficult places. There's usually violence in some of the places where we live. It's hard to get there. Languages are difficult. But we really feel like that God specifically has gifted us in such a way that we thrive in those type of situations and we enjoy it. And we're able to see God work in mighty ways in the midst of these people. The Karamojong are a melodic tribe, and they're a warrior tribe. And so outside of our doors, there are warriors walking around with weapons, and violence can erupt at any moment. But also, if you can get in and make friends with them, they're very genuine people, and they really do have a desire to have a better life and to have a relationship with their Creator.
Could you share a story where you have seen someone's life change through the power of the gospel as you interact with these wonderful folks? Tell us something about an individual that you've seen changed by the power of Christ.
I'll tell you about my gardener who comes and helps me work in my garden and where we raise our crops. I'd known him. He's a real quiet young man. He didn't say hardly anything for the first year that I knew him. We were having some outreach, and we did some outreach in a nearby community, which he happened to be living in that community. And he came and he was able to hear the story of the life of Jesus. And here you can't really just tell everybody to raise their hand if they want to follow Christ, because you'll have everybody will raise their hand, mm-hmm. but no one will actually make the true commitment of leaving behind their old life and following through after repentance and following Jesus. And so we ask for something that's a little bit more, something that they will have to require something of them. And so what we told them is that if you really are wanting to make this change in your life and follow the path of Jesus, then you come and talk to us tomorrow and come to our house and come and chat with us. And as soon as I woke up the next morning, another day, my gardener was sitting outside and he was just waiting. He wasn't working. He was just waiting for me to walk out the door. And he came and talked to me, and this is probably the most I've ever heard him speak. And he just said, "I want to follow Jesus. I've never heard that story before, but this is what I want my life to be about." And soon after that, Nalabay went through a church planter training, and he's now sharing the gospel in nearby communities, and he's being discipled by us as well.
That's fabulous. So the one who used to sow seeds in your garden is sowing seeds of the gospel.
That's exactly right.
That's so exciting. Tell us his name again so we can pray for him.
His name is Nalabay.
Nalabay. Thank you so much, Jeremy, for sharing that with us. That certainly warms our hearts, and we want you to know, and Susan to know, as well as your sweet children, that we're praying for you, and we're thankful for your children, Victory and Memphis and Ember. Could you just tell us how we might pray for your family?
You know, our ministry really right now is mostly focused on discipling the few that have come to Christ, and so that we can multiply ourselves into others. And the work of discipleship is often complicated, especially when you're dealing with a different culture. And so sometimes things happen that wouldn't happen in our culture, and we don't know exactly what to do. And so we are always asking for people to pray for us in wisdom, that we would have the wisdom to be able to discern the situation culturally and know how to best lead these people into following Christ in a way that's life-changing for them and that will just transform the lives of those that are around them. So just pray for our wisdom and guidance as we disciple new believers.
Amen. We certainly will do that, Jeremy. I've been talking with Jeremy Taliaferro, who with his family have been called to minister among the people of Uganda, where good news of Jesus Christ is needed so desperately. Jeremy, we love you and Susan and your children, and we'll be praying for you and the people with whom you're ministering every day. Thank you so much for being with us on Life with Purpose Radio.
Thank you, Dr. White, and thank you to your listeners for their prayers.
For more information on Southern Baptist International Missions, go to our website, lifewithpurposeradio.com. For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Ron Lawson.
Now, Myrna Brown gets the musical story from Grammy Award and Soul Train Gospel Music Award winner Tasha Cobb here on Life with Purpose Radio.
Your life saved my life.
Since she was a teenager, worship has been at the heart of everything she does. Tasha Cobbs is a Dove, Stellar, and Grammy Award-winning singer and songwriter. And even with all those honors, worship continues to be at the heart of it all. Joining us now on Life with Purpose Radio is Tasha Cobbs. Hi, Tasha.
Hello.
Congratulations on all those awards.
Thank you.
Talk about this latest project, Grace.
The assignment that God gave me was to release song that everybody could be comfortable in a place of worship, not just the musical people, but the person sitting in the back row, the person working or ushering at the door. It's very simple songs, but the lyrics are very profound.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Woo! To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Come on, Tim, say it.
Well, break every chain, of course. That song has a life of its own. I say that everywhere I go. Before I ever recorded the song, I heard it, and I listened to it on repeat all night long. And there were some things, some chains that were broken off of my life, chains of rejection and depression that I was dealing with. And that night, you know, that song just began to minister to me. And I knew that once I released the song, it would be such a blessing to so many people around the world. And even in me knowing that, it's still overwhelming to see, wow, this song just really, you know, outside of the four walls of the church, you know, in urban ministry and Christian ministry and different avenues and venues, just people of all cultures and creeds have been blessed by the ministry of Break Every Chain.
For your glory, I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King.
And then For Your Glory is even more personal. When I heard it, the worship leader started saying, I want to be where you are. I got to be where you are. And at that time, you know, God had given me instruction that it was time to move forward, you know, from doing ministry with my dad all of my life. It was very uncomfortable for me. So when I heard the worship leader say those words, I could sense the Spirit of the Lord saying to me, if it makes you uncomfortable, do you still want to be where I am? And in that moment, I told God, you know, whatever, no matter how foggy it is, no matter if I don't understand the instruction that you've given me, if it comes between me being comfortable and me being where you are, I will always choose to be where you are.
I want to talk about what I said in the introduction about worship being at the heart of everything that you do, and it's called the I Lead.
Escape, yeah.
So talk about, what is that?
So I have people sending me emails and sending me Facebook messages. Would you be my mentor? Could you teach me this? Could you walk me through this? And I take mentorship very seriously, so I found it very difficult to be able to work face-to-face, one-on-one with each of these persons. So I started to pray about it, and God, he gave me, it was very simple at the time. He said, call it the Island Escape. It's going to be somewhat of a school for worship leaders. And he said, but I want you to start it off with a monthly conference call. And the first call, we had 410 worship leaders calling from around the world. It completely blew my mind. I was like, really?
Around the world? Around the world?
From around the world, around the globe. But now, it's grown to over 2,000 worship leaders. Every month we meet on a conference call. And I've had to start a conference call in the UK because we had worship leaders from London and Africa and Paris who were calling in, staying up all night just to be on the conference call.
Wow.
So we actually have two of them every first Monday of the month. It just was amazing, you know, that people were so hungry to receive an education about what it is that they do every Sunday. You know, sometimes we get up and we just mimic what we've seen, but we don't have an understanding or knowledge behind why we do what we do.
Yeah.
And that's the purpose of the I Lead Escape.
Another project is the Worship 101, Back to basics.
There are so many people who every week are leading worship saying, lift your hands in the presence of God, or clap your hands right now, giving instruction, that they don't even have a revelation as to why they're asking the people to do that. Mm. That's the basics. Or just basically having a lifestyle of worship that's beyond the corporate people. When you're not standing before thousands of people, what is your life like? Are you nice to people when you walk through the mall? Mm. Are you nice to your family that lives in the house with you? Mm. That's the basics. Are you leading worship to your children? Are you leading worship to your boss?
Right.
And that doesn't consist of a song. It consists of your lifestyle.
That's so key. Worship is a lifestyle. You said it, Tasha.
So it's not just for worship leaders. It's for the worshiper. Somebody, you know, who desires to know more about worshiping our God.
Your book is Worship 101, Back to the Basics, and the project is Grace. Tasha Cobbs, thank you, thank you, thank you. It's always a pleasure
thank
to talk
you.
With you. And for Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Myrna Brown.
Today's Missionary Moment features a Thanksgiving year to remember in upstate New York on Life with Purpose Radio.
For the Marr family, Thanksgiving is more than a tradition.
Okay, let's pray together now. Hold your hands.
It's an opportunity to give very special thanks.
To be very thankful that we have our son Willie with us, Lord. At this
an occasion to celebrate the outcome of a traumatic event which tested the family's faith in God and Jesus Christ to the breaking point.
Things in Jesus' name, amen.
The area around Canajoharie, a rural town in upstate New York, is dotted with small dairy farms like the one owned by Harriet and Alton Marr. It was a cold Sunday morning in November. Alton had gone to the barn to milk his cows before getting ready for church.
Then I got a little nervous because I saw the hat on the ground.
His nervousness turned to horror when he arrived at the tractor. Alton saw his son literally wrapped around the power takeoff shaft of the manure spreader, entangled and tightly squeezed by hydraulic hoses, his shirts torn off, and his body lifeless.
I just thought he's gone.
After running to the house to tell his horrified wife, Harriet, that Willie was dead.
Harriet!
What's the matter?
I think Willie got killed.
Oh, no, what happened?
He got a metal bar and ran back to the scene of the accident. Using the bar, he worked frantically to turn the shaft backwards to free his son. Miraculously, Willie was still alive. To the amazement of his doctors and nurses, Willie overcame his injuries and healed quickly. Only 17 days after his accident and one day before Thanksgiving, Willie Marr left the hospital, walking on his own.
Every day and every Thanksgiving is a special time to remember how gracious and good our God was to us.
It's God's grace, God's mercy, God's power that healed our son. Alan and I will a lot of times say, isn't God good to us?
On Life with Purpose Radio, we believe that the truth of Christ is to be shared with everyone. We hope today's stories have inspired you to live life with purpose. As you heard about, home ministry, the gospel according to Zombies, Mission Uganda, Tasha Cobb, and Thanksgiving in upstate New York. Well, we'll see you next time for more stories of people living their lives with purpose. And visit us online at lifewithpurposeradio.com for more information on today's stories. Life with Purpose Radio is a production of the Georgia Baptist Convention. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director, and in association with Southern Baptist State Conventions and Agencies, including the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board, and is made possible by gifts through the Cooperative Program. I'm Rod Hampton, and happy Thanksgiving from everyone here at Life with Purpose Radio.